All right, so today I actually want to invite you to turn to the book of Psalms. We are not going to be in Genesis today. Yesterday, as I considered everything going on in the world, I thought it better to take us to the book of Psalms to address what's happening around us. So we're going to look at Psalm 56. If you're using the Pew Bible, that is on page 407. Let us pray as we prepare to come to God's Word. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have spoken to us and your Word is as relevant today as it always has been and always will be. And Father, thank you that though the Israelites and though the early church knew nothing of a coronavirus, yet, O God, we see that your Word still speaks to us because things are unchanging. Lord, as we come to you this morning, our prayer is that you would prepare us to hear from you. We pray, Lord, that you would calm our fears. Pray, Lord, that you would remind us that Jesus is on his throne. And we pray, Lord, that we would then be best equipped to go back out into the world, to speak the truth to those who are hurting and those who are anxious. We would be best prepared to minister your love and also speak of your grace and the hope that is found in Christ in these days. Lord, thank you for your word. Prepare us to hear from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we face the uncertain days ahead due to the COVID-19 pandemic, certainly, you've got to be careful about where you get your information from. Don't just go taking everything that the news says as being the final word on the matter. For instance, you should go to the CDC rather than just listening to what may be spouted off. As of Friday, that's the latest report from the CDC, the U.S. has 1,629 confirmed cases of COVID-19. There have been 41 deaths due to the virus, and it is known to be in 46 states and the District of Columbia. As of Friday, there were 8 in Wisconsin, but so far, 0 confirmed cases in Kenosha. We will certainly, as this develops, as a church, we'll be keeping an eye on it. But more than raw numbers, perhaps even faster than the disease itself can spread, fear is spreading. People are responding in panic and in hysteria, looking often out only for themselves, emptying shelves to make sure that they have what they need, unconcerned about whether what others have, they'll have what they need. We see in many ways our nation is coming to a screeching halt. We're seeing stocks are like a roller coaster. And it's all because of something that's so microscopic that we can't see it. But this pandemic should lead us to ask some fundamental questions like, what's your heart's deepest loyalty? Who or what are you truly trusting in? The answer to these questions comes out when we face a crisis like this. We see David faced similar times in Psalm 56. Psalm 56 begins with a title. It says, to the choir master, according to the dove on a far-off terebinth's. That was apparently the name of the song, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. David writes under the inspiration of God's Spirit, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And so when David was filled with fear because of his overwhelming enemies, he found comfort by trusting in God to deliver him. And so can you, so can I. And so when overwhelming troubles fill you with fear, you can find comfort by trusting in God to deliver you. You know, the Bible is not aloof to germ epidemics. God, of course, made bacteria and viruses, and we know that they were originally created good, but Genesis 3 recounts the fall into sin, and ever since then, there have been bacteria and viruses that do cause problems. But we also see in Scripture the description of deadly pestilence. For instance, in Psalm 91, verse 3, we read, "For God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." That was God's promise to his people, especially his Messiah. And God even made provision for his people. When somebody got sick, whether in the city or in the camp, they were to go outside into a quarantine so that they didn't spread it to everyone. Now, as we read Psalm 56, it's clear David was not facing a pestilence. He's not looking at some sort of viral pandemic. Rather, David is clearly facing human adversaries. And the title of the psalm is helpful. Notice it says, David wrote this when the Philistines seized him in Gath. If you can flip with me to 1 Samuel 21, starting in verse 10. It'll also be up on the screen for you. 1 Samuel 21, starting in verse 10. David rose and fled that day from Saul. Saul was the king who was trying to kill him. And he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s." And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you've brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" Verse 1 of chapter 22, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And so David is the anointed king of Israel. He has slaughtered many Philistines in battle. He is the He's been the general of Saul's army pretty much. And so he's in Philistine territory at this moment. And it's not good for somebody who's been in military activity to go where the enemy is. I remember when we were in Israel, our tour guide had been a tank commander in the Six-Day War. And so he, because of his time in the military, every time that we would go into Palestinian-controlled areas, he would leave us and we would get another tour guide because he just wouldn't go into that territory. But here we see David. He's gone to be with the Philistines because he is trying to escape from King Saul. And he doesn't just go to any Philistine city. This is Gath. As 1 Samuel 17 tells us, Gath was the hometown of Goliath, the giant whom David had slaughtered. David has killed their hometown hero, and now he's got the audacity to come to town. And apparently they take him captive. As we read in verse 13 of chapter 21, he's in their hands. Chapter 22, verse 1 says he had to escape from Gath. David had every reason to be afraid. His natural reaction is to fear. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4, he talks about when I'm afraid. Likewise, in verse 11, it's natural for him to panic. He's trapped in an enemy city. Outside, Saul is searching for him to kill him. He's like a sheep, and there are two packs of hungry wolves ready to devour him. And mighty David, the giant slayer, the anointed king who has the Spirit of God upon him, is afraid. If you're feeling some anxiety about the coronavirus, if you see all that's going on and you're starting to feel afraid, if you're worried about yourself or your loved ones, you're not in too bad of company. This psalm speaks to you. Now, there are other psalms that I would encourage you as well to read. Psalm 23, Psalm 46, Psalm 90, Psalm 91. But I came here to Psalm 56 because as I listen to the news, as I hear the reports of people panicking and in hysteria, this psalm shows us how, as God's people, we can respond differently. Shows us how to respond when we're tempted to panic, how to respond when we experience fear, when fear starts to fill our hearts. So are you experiencing fear due to the constant troubles that are trampling you? David was. So notice he appeals to God's mercy, verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God. Why? He says, because man tramples on me. Notice these words. All day long an attacker oppresses me. Verse 2, my enemies trample on me all day long. Down in verse 5, likewise, David says, all day long they injure my cause. And so David's saying, what I'm facing is constant. Just this constant bombardment. I can't get a moment's relief. He says, in essence, I'm defenseless, verse 2. For many attack me proudly. Now, that word proudly is literally from on high or on high, from the height. And so it could mean that his enemies are people in high places like King Saul and King Achish. Or perhaps David's using it figuratively, saying that they're almost like birds of prey swooping down to attack him, and he just can't keep himself from them. Either way, David's saying, I am just being bombarded with constant troubles that won't go away. Sort of like the news reports. And 24/7, go on CNN, Fox News, whatever it might be. It's just constant, the headline after headline on the radio, on if you look at the internet on your smartphone. All of the headlines have to do with the coronavirus. Constantly. Just yesterday, I looked at CNN just to see, all right, what are the top three headlines? Here they are. This is from yesterday. Domestic travel restrictions considered. We all know why. Number two, people without symptoms may be driving spread. Number three, a state-by-state breakdown of U.S. coronavirus cases. Top three headlines. This is the way it's been for a week, 2 weeks, a month. It can be overwhelming. The reports can trample you down to where you just start feeling anxious and hysterical yourself. Our text would also have us ask, are you filled with fear due to crushing troubles terrifying you? Let me be clear, it's actually natural to feel afraid in a time like this, to be concerned. I can say personally, as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, certainly, you know, there are times when I'm a bit anxious about this. I think about it. What if I get sick and I spread it to my family or to somebody else? What if I would die from this? It's a possibility. Who would provide for my family? Or what if my wife gets sick? What if my kids get sick? As a pastor, what if people from the congregation start getting sick? And so these fears really are in some ways natural. But they can be crushing. They can be the sort of things that terrify you and keep you up at night. Thankfully, I'm not alone. I'm not the first person to feel this way. In fact, the Apostle Paul felt this way. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." You know, David, too, faced these sort of crushing troubles. His enemies, he tells us, are out to injure his cause, or it might mean they're twisting his words. They're plotting evil against him. They're stirring up others to attack him. Like wild beasts, they're lurking in the darkness to pounce out on him. Saul was literally watching his moves, seeking an opportunity to take his life from him. So it's normal, natural for David to feel some fear. He had to move his parents out of Israel and into Moab to keep them safe. David himself had to go to the Judean wilderness to live in the caves and the rocks there. That's why he's writing this psalm. He was afraid, and so he's confessing this to God. You see, fear can either drive you to look more into yourself or to others, or fear can drive you to a deeper reliance upon God. So you don't have to try to hide your fears. You can confess them to God. He's got big enough shoulders for you to say, "God, this is causing me some anxiety at the moment." Whenever you're facing these sorts of fears that terrify you, the best place to go is to God. And that's what we see David do here. You see, you can find comfort by trusting in God and in His Word. That's the first place you should always go for comfort. David says in verse 3, "When I am afraid," what does he do? Does he panic? Does he go out to the store and buy up all the toilet paper off the shelves? No. David says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? What can man in his weakness do to me? He means this to be a rhetorical question. The answer is nothing except what the God who works all things according to the counsel of his will decrees that they should be able to do. What God allows in his sovereignty. You know, sometimes we have to ask ourselves questions to uncover what am I trusting in? What is my deepest loyalty? That's what David does here. What can flesh really do to me, he's saying. Where's my trust at the moment? When we're afraid, it can be good to just pause and ask that. What's the worst thing that this virus could do to me? Get me sick and suffering for a while? Might kill me? Might kill a loved one? Is God not still in control of these things? As tragic as they are, as awful as they are? As Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, it says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. How do you overcome a fear? With a stronger fear. You see God as he truly is. You see that God is high and lifted up, that he is on the throne. You preach the truth to yourself like David does and say, you know what? God is beyond this. God controls this virus. God knew this would happen long before he made any of us out of dirt. You trust in God because God cares even for the sparrows, Jesus says. Jesus goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. So Jesus concludes, fear not, therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows. God cares for the sparrows. Of course he'll care for you. God knows how many hairs on your head. You have no idea how many hairs you have on your head. David stops to preach to himself the truth about God, to preach God's promise to himself. He reminds himself of God's word. God had promised him, David, you're going to be king. Now, today we might look back and say, boy, there's a pretty convenient promise, isn't it? David's got to have a future if he's going to be king. You know, that'd be a promise I'd like to have. You know, and listen, being 3,000 years after the event, it's easy to look back and say, why would David be afraid? God promised him a future. Well, that's easy when you look back, isn't it? Not so easy when you're going through it. Yes, David had this promise that he would be king, but likewise, as we go through this pandemic, you don't get to look back in a year or two and say, well, see, I didn't have to fear that at all. That's not faith. Faith is trusting in God now in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the pandemic. Yes, David had a great promise, but dear Christians, dear saints, we have better promises even than David. Because our promises have already been paid for and secured in the blood and resurrection of Christ. We've had one who went to the cross, who went through death and has come out on the other side alive. Our promises are that much more secure than David's were. We have one who has gone through suffering, who has died. And he is our high priest who cares for us. He is the one who intercedes for us, whatever we might go through. So that we can say with confidence, all of God's promises are yes and amen to us in Christ. Look at how David responds in verses 10 and 11. He repeats the refrain of this psalm. And he does it as an exclamation. Notice he repeats himself. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust. That God who has promised me, he's the one I trust in. I'm not going to be afraid. What can man do to me? God's in control. Listen, we're not naturalists. We don't believe this is happening because of blind fate or by chance. Listen, God's in control of everything. He is sovereign. He's in control even of viruses and who gets them. God is absolutely on the throne, ruling over every single molecule, every single particle in the entire universe. But not only that, we know that God is good. God has good purposes for all things. God has a plan even for this, even though we don't see it right now. We know that God is wise. He knows what he is doing. We know that God is faithful and is loving. And whatever he does through this, we know that he does it in absolute faithfulness and out of his love for us. And so we can remind ourselves that is the God whom we trust. We can remind ourselves we don't have to be afraid because God is faithful. His word is true. That is where you find confidence. That is where you find comfort in the midst of these troubling times. It's found in knowing that God and his word are unchanging and unfailing. And so you can find comfort in God and in his word. But you can also find comfort by remembering God's compassion. That's what we see in verses 7 through 9. Notice David trusts in God in verse 7 that he's going to judge his enemies. Verse 8, David talks about God's compassion and caring for him. He says, "You have kept count on my tossing you. You know what's going on, God. You put my tears in your bottle. You're completely aware of every moment of sorrow and grief that I go through." You see, God knows our sufferings and sorrows. You're Christian. God cares for you. Cares for you like a father or mother cares for his or her son and daughter. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Well, how do you humble yourself? Peter says, you cast your anxieties on God, knowing he cares for you. Like David, when you have anxieties and fears and worries, don't try to deal with them yourself. Cast them on God. That's what we see David seeing here. Verse 9, "Then my enemies will turn back." When? "In the day when I call upon you, in the day when I call out to God, in the day that I pray to God." That's when God's going to deal with this. And then David can say with utter confidence, "This I know." Like that kid's song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's where David knows it from God's word. "This I know," David says, "that God is for me." Can you say that with confidence today? God is for me. If you can say, "God is for me, this I know that he is," let me ask you, why do you believe that God is for you? Maybe you say, "Well, because God loves me." Okay. Lots of people say that God loves them. That doesn't mean it's true that they are the people for whom God is looking out. That doesn't mean they're his children by faith in Christ. How do you know God is for you? If your answer is anything but because God gave his son on the cross to die for my sins, Because God has raised Jesus from the dead to be Lord over every single inch of this cosmos and everything that happens in it. And that this same Jesus is Lord both in my life and in my death. If your answer, if your response is anything but that, you have to ask, is your confidence that God is for you right? Because the Bible would lead you to say, you're putting your trust in someone or something else besides God. Paul can say in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, after saying, you know, everything that we go through, we know that God's working it out for the good. He says, what then shall we say to these things? And here's what we'll say. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? There's a promise you can take to the bank. If God gave his son for you, he will give you all things. And yes, that all things even includes sickness and suffering. And we can say with confidence then, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God is for you, whatever comes your way, you can call upon him in confidence, knowing that he cares for you, knowing that he hears your prayers. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God promises, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Which brings us to the third way that you can find comfort. Verses 12 and 13, you can find comfort by hoping in God's deliverance. Let me be clear, when I talk about God's deliverance, I don't mean that you won't get sick from this, you might. I don't mean by God's deliverance that you may not die from this, you might. I don't mean that loved ones may not die, they might. But yet, our confidence isn't in this age. Jesus died. He suffered and died, but God raised him from the dead. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from among the dead. So if you are united with Jesus through faith, you can have confidence, whether in this life or ultimately in the next, God will deliver you. You know, some think that David penned verses 12 and 13 after he escaped Gath. I think he actually penned them while he was still in the Philistine city. Because I think he penned them in faith. When he writes, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. David is confident. He has faith. The situation hasn't changed, but he knows God hasn't either. So in verse 13, we read, for you have delivered my soul from death. That's how confident David is. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life, that I may experience abundant joy in you, O God, that I might have the fullness of life with you, God. But where does David get this sort of confidence, this sort of hope? It's in his relationship with God. You see, when you hope in God's deliverance, that hope in God replaces captivity with confidence, replaces despair with dependence, replaces fear with faith, replaces terror with trust, replaces anxiety with assurance, replaces panic with peace. As Paul says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. What happens when we experience peace in whatever circumstances we find ourselves? We're freed up to serve others. You see, as long as fear is controlling you, you're thinking of yourself first and foremost. But when faith and hope are in the driver's seat, then you're freed up to serve others because you're freed up to love others. That is, in fact, what we see with David. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, I stopped before reading it before. Immediately after David escapes from Gath, we read, "And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to David. And he became commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men. How was David able to receive these who were hurting? Because while he was in Gath, God, through the circumstances, led David to a deeper trust and faith and hope. The bubonic plague, also called the Black Death, it has been a pandemic at least three times in history. It's killed an estimated 75 to 200 million people. In 1347 to 1350, it came out of China and killed one-fourth of Europe's population. At its worst, the Black Death kills 30 to 90% of those who get it. In August 1527, the Black Death came to Wittenberg, Germany. And as other people fled, Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, was told by the prince, Elector John, "Luther, you need to save your life. You need to get out of town and survive." Well, Luther had not too long ago come to know peace with God through faith in Jesus. He had come to know the peace that surpasses understanding. And so he defied the order by the prince, remained in town, and Luther cared for people personally who were suffering through the bubonic plague. He was surrounded by death and by suffering, and yet Luther, out of love for Christ, stayed there and ministered. You know, as with Luther, this current pandemic is going to give us some sort of opportunities to show love and care for those around us. That may mean just sharing a roll of toilet paper if somebody runs out. It might mean checking on your elderly neighbors to make sure they're doing okay and to give them a meal. I pray it doesn't come to it, but if it does, it may mean, as hospitals can't take anyone else in, we sit by the bedside of those who perhaps once cursed us and care for them and point them to a hope that goes beyond this life. You see, that comes when you experience the peace and comfort that's found only through faith and hope in God. And so when overwhelming trials and troubles fill your heart with fear, you can find comfort and peace by trusting in God to deliver you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the example of David here, and thank you, Lord, far more for Christ, for Jesus, who died on the cross so that we might be reconciled, but also, Lord, who gave us the pattern of one who trusted you through it. Father, I pray that as your people, we would be those who in these days of fear and panic wouldn't look out only for ourselves, but we would in faith walk with you and then be prepared to be able to care for the needs of others. Open our eyes to the needs of those around us, and Lord, help us to bear witness to Christ in these days. We pray, Lord, that even through this, you would bring in a great harvest of men and women and children who would come to know you. Lord, we must ultimately leave the fruit of this to you. But we know that your purposes are good and you are on your throne. Help us to keep our eyes upon you, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.